Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsum a day for the 21st of Tammuz. Today's responsum is going to be from a book of responsum called Mishneh Halachot. It's from the fourth volume, Siman Tet, the ninth tshuva, and it's from the 21st of Tammuz of Tufshin Chof Dalet of 1964. This is not a book of responsum I use all that often. It's by a man named Rav Menashe Klein. Rav Menashe Klein was certainly a well-recognized Gadol HaTorah, well-recognized Torah authority. He did, however, have some very extreme opinions on various issues that I remember from the years that I was, you know, a young adult and hearing what he said. But this is a tshuva on a topic that I think is not politically charged in any way and not offensive in anybody in any way, and therefore also an opportunity for him to show his ordinary Gadlus Batorah. He was also a very well-known Holocaust survivor. He was born in 1925 in Ungvar, Slovakia. His father was a Torah authority. He spent most of the war in concentration camps. I believe he was a good friend of Elie Wiesel's from their experiences in the war. After the war, he moved to the United States. He got smicha from the Sanz Klausenberger Rebbe, and he was a Sanz Klausenberger chassid, I think, his whole life, and then he began to teach halacha. He established an Ungvar community in Borough Park, and then another one in Ramot in Yerushalayim, and he passed away in 5772 in 2011. There are 17 volumes of his response to Mishneh Halachot, so even if in some of them there are issues, there are many of them that are just plain, you know, well-accepted and well-thought-out halacha, and I found an opportunity to learn some Torah from this Rav Menashe Klein as well. So he's writing a response to a rabbi who he doesn't know. So interestingly, in all of these responses, in many of these responses, I skip the introductory encomia, meaning that it's a rabbinic sort of the way that rabbis write letters to each other, they start with flowery openings, expressing praise for the person. So I kind of always thought they were somewhat pro forma. And then he, in his response to this man, has a few, which I've left out. But he then says, after wishing you well, he says, Yislach li me'od im lo te'artiv kara'oi. I hope you'll forgive me if I haven't appropriately praised you, appropriately described you, because I don't know you. So I hadn't realized that you put thought into this and that they really, like, when they try to express an opinion of somebody, it was not just, he's so great. It's he's so great in ways that they thought of, the rabbis writing the letters, thought of as being appropriate in particular to this person. So that's one lesson to be taught. So the man who's writing to him, I think it was a rabbi in a community, he writes to him about a shul where they have just 10 men davening. And generally, when the chazan starts repeating the Shemona Esrei out loud, there's only 9 of them who are already ready for the davening. One of them is still praying. And so he wants to know what they should be doing about it. Is it okay? So this comes up often, and that's why the responsum struck me as well. It's a question that comes up all the time. If you're in a minyan, how long do you wait? Until when do you wait for repeating the Shemona Esrei, and how far do you have to go? So the man writing the letter to Rav Menashe Klein had pointed out that Shulchan Aruch seems to give contradictory expressions to an answer to this question. In Orach Chaim Nun Hei, Psif Vav, in 55.6 in Orach Chaim, Shulchan Aruch says, if one of the 10 starts to pray on his own, you know, let's say community started praying and then somebody just praying on their own, or he was behind, he's just praying on his own, and now he cannot respond to Chazar HaShas with them, or he is asleep. Right? You have somebody who wasn't davening with them, but could be part of the minyan, but then he fell asleep. Nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says, that person can be counted for the minyan. That seems to imply that you don't need 9 responding to the chazan. You need to have 10 in the room in some way, and sleeping counts for whatever that some way is, and somebody davening, somebody praying, counts for in the room, in that way. Not yet clear why, but that's what the first source seems to suggest. Later on in Orach Chaim, in Kuf Chof Dalet, Seif Dalet, in 124, paragraph 4, Shulchan Aruch rules that when the chazan is going to be chozer hatfilah, is going to repeat the Shemona Esrei, hakahal yesh lehem milishtok ulechavein labrachot shemvarei chazan. The community should be quiet and pay attention to the brachot, to the blessings that the chazan is saying, so that they can say amen. So that's one of those unfortunate paragraphs in Shulchan Aruch that are clear, that are unargued, right? There's no debate about this issue, and yet, unfortunately, are widely ignored. repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to be a time when people are being silent and listening carefully and paying attention and answering the brachot. Just simple thing. It's one of those where the old joke about if they had put it in, hidden it somewhere where you wouldn't have expected to find it as a chumrah, maybe as a stringency, as only the greatest righteous scholars do it, then maybe people would have been more careful to do it. But now that they just put it straight out as a simple, plain rule, then nobody pays attention to it. In any case, paragraph of Shulchan Aruch continues, V'imein tet mechavnim lebirchotav. And if there aren't nine paying attention to the brachos of the chazan, karov liot brachotav lebatala, it seems like, it's almost like karov liot, it's close to being a bracha lebatala, like the chazan is doing something that has no halachic value, and when we just make bracha for no good reason, that's a halachic problem. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, every person in the shul should think of himself as being one of the nine, as if there aren't nine other than him, and should pay attention to the chazan. So that last piece of it is obviously a bit of exhortation rather than a halakhic ruling. It's not that you're required to think of yourself as nine. Let's say, sadly, for whatever reason, there's one person who's not paying attention at all and he's talking, which is not good, but let's say, and there are 10 other people or 9 other people who are answering, then this paragraph doesn't come into play. So when the Shulchan Aruch says, so a person should see himself that way, you know, a cynic, a wag, a scoffer, a skeptic might say, well, why don't I just count that there are 9 paying attention, then I'm free to not pay attention. He doesn't mean that at all. He just means that you have to realize how serious it would be if there aren't 9 paying attention, but really everybody has the obligation to be listening and paying attention. And then in parentheses, the Hagahot Migani Hagim has Yeshem Shekhol Am Ya'amdu, that everybody should stand for Chazarat HaShatz. Then the standing, to be clear, isn't like milling around, it's standing like paying attention to the Chazan. So that sounds like you need a full 9 responding, because the Shulchan Aruch said, if there aren't 9 responding, it's close to being a bracha levatala. That's the question the man raises. You have one source saying that if one of the 9 is sleeping or is davening, it's all right. You have another source saying you need 9 answering, or it's almost like a bracha levatala. So Rav Nasha Klein, the Mishneh Halachot, says that's not a new question. The Prisha already raises that question, and he says that when the Torah wrote that it's karov liot bracha levatala, that it's almost like a bracha levatala, that's close to being a unnecessary bracha, he notes that the Beis Yosef wrote karov lo mamash. It's like, it's close to it, but not actually like it, because the Shulchan Aruch also had already ruled earlier. Let's say you start with 10. This might be a lesser known halacha. Let's say they start with a minyan, and then at some point in the Chazarat HaShatz, some people go out for whatever reason. There are bad reasons, but let's give a good reason. Let's suppose there's a hatzalah call. You have a bare minyan of people davening, or you have 12 people davening together. 3 of them have an unavoidable hatzalah call they have to go out on, and now you only have 9 people in the room. So there the halakha happens to be that you can finish whatever it was you were in the middle of. So if it was in the middle of a Kaddish, you could finish Kaddish. If you're in the middle of Chazar HaShatz, you can finish Chazar HaShatz. So if that's true, then it's clearly true that a chazan saying Shemoneh Esrei in Chazar HaShatz, repeating the Shemoneh Esrei in a room without 9 answering, isn't itself a bracha levatala, because if it's halachically acceptable, that's the way it came about, then that's the way it came about. So therefore, it must be that when the Shulchan Aruch says, when the Torah had said, and the Yosef agreed, that it's karov liot bracha levatala, what they meant was that because it's being handled wrongly, that makes it almost like a bracha levatala, but not quite a technical bracha levatala. You could, of course, have said, I'm not saying we should have, because this is, I think, the right answer, but one could have said that in the case where there had been 11 or 12, and now there are only 9 or 8, that it's not a bracha levatala because it's acceptable to make the brachos this way, whereas if you have a room full of people who are talking and left fewer than 9 are answering, that itself makes it a bracha levatala, but that's not what anybody says. I just was pointing out, theoretically, we could have said that it's having available so many people to answer who then choose not to answer turns what ordinarily would have been a reasonable bracha into the bracha levatala. That's not the way that Menashe Klein goes. Then he adds that the Beis Yosef points out that even if some of them are sleeping or they're learning, right, or they're talking about things, the chazan can finish the tefillah, which shows that there's no contradiction here and it all comes together. And the answer is that there are different ways that things can happen. If there are people in the room who are not doing anything valuable and they're not answering, that makes it close to bracha levatala. But the fact that somebody's sleeping doesn't itself necessarily invalidate the chazarat hashatz or the bracha that the chazarat hashatz is making. The Magen Avraham had had noticed that and said that explicitly, that we don't require nine answering, because we see that we paskin that if somebody is sleeping or somebody is davening, right, would be another good example. If there are good, valid reasons that they're not participating, that does not necessarily invalidate the repetition of the Shmona Esrei. However, the Taz made the point that he didn't think it was true of sleeping. The Taz was bothered by the sleeping part because he gets it from the Maharib Beirav, but the sleeping part, he says, he thinks was derived from the person who is davening. We had said that if a person is davening, meaning they're not able to physically answer amen to the brachot or anything like that because they're in the middle of davening, we said they can be part of the minyan. So therefore, the Taz is saying that's how people got the idea that even somebody who's sleeping. So he says he thinks it's strange that that would be true. He doesn't know that he understands that because the person who's in the middle of his own prayers, so it's true, he's praying and he can't stop to answer, but he can stop and be quiet. And we do say in many halakhic contexts that shomea ka'one, that if somebody listens to something, it's as if they're answering it, and since it's as if they're answering it, then they can count as being part of the minyan. But somebody who's yashen, who's sleeping, so that would be more of a problem because they can't do anything. They're not part of it. They're not there because they're not able, they're not aware and able to respond to that. So the Beis Yosef had another reason why we would think. It's not only that we learn it from somebody who's davening, that we can learn to somebody who's sleeping, but he points out there's a discussion in the Gemara in Brachot about various things. This is where actually the custom comes. Some people have the custom that you could have a minor, a boy under bar mitzvah, hold a chumash or a sefer Torah and be the tenth for a minyan. There's a sugya in Brachot that raises all of these options. I think we generally do not rule according to those options, but it's known that there are those options out there. And one of those options was that Rabbi Shua ben Levi would be mitzaref even a katan hamutal ba'aresa. He thought that for the 10th, you could even use a baby in a crib. So that's, so the Beis Yosef said, so if you can use a baby in a crib, that shows you that Rabbi Shua ben Levi doesn't think that the ability to answer is a necessary quality. It might be an important quality, but it's not a necessary quality. If it's not a necessary quality in the 10th for the minyan, then you might then that would make sense as to why you can include somebody sleeping as well, because the sleeping person is also not able to answer, but is no worse than a baby. The problem with the Taz says, the problem with that is that we don't rule like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. In other words, when the Beis Yosef quotes it, it would seem that the Beit Yosef was saying, from the fact that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi has this option, so it might be that we think that a baby is taking it too far, because a baby, even when the baby is awake, can't answer, can't understand what's going on. That might be, if that's why we disagree with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, if that's why the Gemara doesn't rule, if the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, so there's two possibilities. It's either because we require an aware and awake adult, or it could just be we require an adult. So the Beis Yosef quotes it to show that the ability to pay attention clearly isn't the issue, shouldn't be the issue. And I think the Beis Yosef would tell you, I think the reason the Beis Yosef would tell you that is because Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, if his argument with Chachamim was about that you can use somebody who's sleeping, then he doesn't need to go so far as even a baby. He could just say somebody who's sleeping would be good enough, and then they would say this. And from the fact that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi reached all the way for a baby in a crib, maybe that would imply that everybody else agreed with him to a certain point, including, let's say, a sleeping adult. But the Taz doesn't see it that way. The Taz thinks, no, that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, we don't follow Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, and therefore we cannot bring proofs from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi about our practice. It happens to be that Rabbeinu Tam does rule according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. He thinks the flow of the sugya in Brachot is that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi should be followed, but the Taz said, even the Rabbeinu Tam, who said that, was not willing to act upon it. And so, therefore, if we're going to include a sleeping person, we're in some way acting under Rabbi Shua ben Levi, meaning if the proofs for the ability to include a sleeping person rely or need the Rabbi Shua ben Levi aspect of it, then we need it. And even Rabbeinu Tam, who thought that the halakha should follow Rabbi Shua ben Levi, was willing to act on it, and therefore the Taz is bothered by that. Then the Taz adds, maybe also a yashen, somebody sleeping, is worse than a katan. Why is he worse than a katan? Why is he worse than a minor? Meaning, if 11-year-old can answer, why is that better? So the Taz says, de'ein bo kedusha, somebody who's sleeping doesn't have their full sanctity as a Jew with them while they're sleeping. And he hears that from an earlier halacha in Or HaChaim, which says that the reason why we wash as soon as we wake up in the morning, we wash our hands, is because there's a pasuk that says "Erchatz b'nikyon kapai," but the reason is that we think that sleep in some sense has some connection to death or the loss of a soul and things like that. And the way that the Zohar says it, they quote there, is begin to nishmata kadisha istalakat minei devarnash, that our souls in some sense leave us while we're sleeping. And therefore the Taz thought, and that means we're not bichlal kedusha, the person is not fully in their sanctity, and that's part of why they wash their hands when they wake up, because they're regaining their full soul and their full sanctity. And therefore, if that's true, then it might be that I could say, well, even those who are including a minor, they include a minor because the minor is awake. And the minor, whatever sanctity the minor already has, is with that minor. So the minor is not yet an adult, but is able to partake, perhaps, of this thing. But a yashen, a sleeping person, might be different. Then one more issue. One more issue is that we could also say about a sleeping person, there's a simple solution to include them in the minyan, which would be to wake them up. Whereas with a katan, a minor, a kid's 11, and I want to have a minyan right now, there's no way to make the kid 13, right? You can't turn a kid into an adult, whereas you can wake a person. So we have a general halakhic principle. I'm sorry, I introduced that wrong. You might have thought we have a general halakhic principle, which is kolaroi lebila in bilam akevetbo. The general halakhic principle is that it comes from minachot, it comes from flower offerings, and it's about the flour and the oil in a mincha, whether they have to be mixed together or not. And the Gemara there says that as long as it would be plausible to be able to mix them together, you don't have to actually mix them together. There are many situations in halacha, this is why it's applied widely, there are many situations in halacha where as long as I could do whatever it is, I don't have to actually do whatever it is. There are plenty of other situations where we do have to actually do it, because unless one actually does it, it's not qualified as doing it. But there are some situations where we say, kolaroi labila, as long as okay. So that would mean, theoretically, that should have meant here in the case of a person sleeping, as long as it's possible to wake this person up and have them be part of the minyan, maybe I don't need to actually wake them up and have them be part of minyan. Maybe I would take it the other way. But the Taz says no, because that doesn't mean we can just lechatchila. Now, it's not always true. Sometimes it is true, lechatchila, we don't have to do whatever it is. But here he's saying it doesn't make sense that we would say that since we could wake this person, we can count them just fine without waking them. Because in general, in davening things, he says, when we can do things better, we should do it better rather than worse. And therefore, he makes this whole issue of including a sleeping person is problematic. And then he throws in at the end, he also that a rush had written that you need 10 who are paying attention, but he sees that, he says, but we see that in the world the practice is to include even those who are just chatting during shul and not really paying attention. So then, Rav Menashe Klein, then the Taz says, and that's very, very strange, how can you bring a raya min ha-shotim? How can you bring a proof that from people who refuse to pay attention during davening, who are just not listening, they're violating something by talking in shul. Asher gadol avonam me'od. This is Rav Menashe Klein writing. Asher gadol avonam me'od. Their sin is very great. Uvemet ani omer shechalila hilitzdareif im anashim poshim ka'ela. At least his opinion, Rav Menashe Klein's opinion, was that it would ideally be better not to daven with such people, meaning, and this is a topic that's very sensitive in the world, and it would be have to be handled with great sensitivity. But his point is, and he was a person who, I think, in the way he lived his life, found a community of like-minded people and stayed with them. It didn't mix with other people. And so if you want to have a broader-minded community, you want to be more open to people, you have to sometimes sacrifice on issues like this. But his point was that if I meet somebody who goes to shul, right, so there's two kinds of people who talk in shul, in my experience. They're the people who get briefly caught up in a conversation, an idea comes into their head, they tell the person next to them, and they share a thought, or they haven't said something in a while, they have a brief hello about it, and then they go back to davening. And they're not generally talking in shul. And then you have people who walk into shul, they sit down from the first moment of shul, and they talk the entire way through, unless they have something they actually themselves need to say, and then they talk the whole time. So Rav Menashe Klein is saying it's important to think about, he's saying more than that, I'm trying to calm it down a little bit, that we'd want to think about whether these are the kinds of people we want to daven with. That in davening with people, we're creating a certain kind of a minyan, a certain kind of a community, a certain kind of representation to Hashem. And if there are people who are going to, while they're there and doing it, they're going to metaphorically spit on the process, so they're poshim, they in some sense. So we have to think about those things. And therefore, he says, if there's no minyan without them, then he thinks you shouldn't. Kal vachomer shelo lilmod mizehet el yashen. Well, the more so, not to learn from it that you can use a sleeping person. That you don't have nine who are paying attention. It's almost like a bracha lebatala. All the more so, you shouldn't. This is all the taz, I apologize, but all the more so, you shouldn't be lenient about this issue. So, I'm sorry, I keep getting it going back and forth, but it's the taz who's saying all that. The taz is saying we shouldn't daven with such people, ideally, who are talking, but certainly we couldn't learn from them to people who are sleeping. He thinks that sleeping is a problematic extrapolation that you got from either from a minor, or you got it from people who are talking, you got it from people who are davening, so he thinks all of those are not relevant to the question of the sleeping person. He thinks one really shouldn't join in a minyan with people who are going to just talk regularly in the minyan. That's one kind of an issue. And he's also very concerned about whether or not we can include a sleeping person. Now Rav Nasha Klein says there were achronim who followed the Taz, who agreed with the Taz that sleeping is a problem. But even if that's true, remember the question that Rav Nasha Klein was dealing with wasn't the sleeping question. He was dealing with the question of the person who's in the middle of davening. If somebody's davening, there the Taz would agree, because the Taz's concern was that the person sleeping isn't aware of what's going on, isn't part of it at all, but the person who's davening can be part, is aware of what's going on, and they can stop and they can pay attention and be a shomei ka'oneh rather than just being ignoring it whatsoever. Then Rav Nasha Klein notes several different sources, Tosfos Gedushin, a Bar Tanur, a Maharshan Kulin, all of whom think that we shouldn't really rely, if we don't have to, on the issue of Haro'i Labila. This person davening is theoretically able to answer, and therefore the fact that he can't physically answer shouldn't be a problem. And then he notes that the Bhagavat Maimani had the quote of the Maharam, who said that if somebody was already davening and he can't answer, you can include them in the minyan. It's better to wait for them if you can so that they can also answer and they can get the merit of answering as well. So it's a whole long discussion there. But if the Rinzash client says, but if you look carefully at those postgame, you see that that person shouldn't be stopping and listening like the Taz had said. The Taz had said you can use Shomei Ka'ona, where that we generally think that if somebody listens to something, it's as if they're saying it. So the Taz assumed, I think, as we assume, I think, between brachos, meaning if somebody is davening at Shemoneh Esrei and the community gets up to Kedusha, I think that we say that if they're between brachot, like after the bracha of, let's say, the one that popped in the mind of Shomei Tefillah or Mishan Miftach Tzadikim, they can pause there and listen and not say anything. But if they can't do that, right, then, I'm sorry, so the Rav Nasha Klein says that shows that they don't agree with the task, because if the guy could just stop and listen, Shomei Ka'oneh, then why would the Maharam say it's better to wait until the person stops, until the person finishes, so he can answer as well? So I'm not sure that that's so clear, because I could have imagined the Maharam would say, yes, there's a halach of Shomei Ka'oneh, but Shomei Ka'oneh is not quite the same as answering himself, and therefore it would be better if we actually could wait for him to the end and then completely and fully answer. Because after all, if you think about it, we don't say to the people who are not davening, well, just listen carefully and Shomei Ka'oneh. We say, well, listen carefully and answer. So apparently there is something better about the answering, and maybe that's what the Maharam was worried about. Coming back to the Mishneh, the Shut Mishneh Halachot, the National Client doesn't say that. He just points out that he thinks that implies that they're not agreeing with the Taz about that the person is allowed to stop and be Shomei Ka'oneh. He says, from the whole discussion also, it seems clear that the Chazan himself counts as part of the ten, and therefore he thinks that when we say that if one person is still davening, it's clear to him, we don't mean only one person is still davening, that as long as most of the majority of the minyan have already finished, the shots can start me'ikar hadin. So that's so if there's 10 people in the room and 6 of them have finished davening, including the Chazan, theoretically, one is allowed to already start. You might want to wait a little bit longer, but then the inclusion of that person who's still davening, or 2 people are still davening, or 3 people are still davening, that Rav Nasha Klein says is me'ikar adin, perfectly fine. If there's time to wait for them so they can get also the merits of answering, that would be better. he thinks. Then he says, and then I looked up a shud of the Maharam Bar Baruch, that's who was quoted in Hagot Maimoniot. And he says, in fact, in the tshuva, the language is that it's better to wait until somebody finishes so that that person can answer, and that's even if there already are 10. Meaning, Maharam Bar Baruch's question wasn't a minyan question. It was, if you have the time, especially, right, let's say you have time to daven still, it's not like the sun is setting right now, we're going to miss Zman Mincha. If you have the time to daven, and you're able to, it would be nicer to that person so you can get the opportunity to answer. But in terms of Dovership Kedusha, in terms of needing a minion for the responses, the Maharam had said, since this person is in the shul, from the doorstep, from the threshold and within, right? That's the whole question of who counts as being in the room. In the room is in that room, and if they're outside the door, then it depends on where they are on the threshold or not, and they can or cannot count for the minion. There he says, even if the person is not answering, we would allow that, because the Pasuk says about Devarim Shebekdusha, about these kinds of sanctified experiences where the community is getting together to declare something sanctified about Hashem's name, like Baruch Hu or like Kedusha. The verse in the Torah that teaches about this says, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified amongst the Jewish people. The Maharam says, amongst the Jewish people. Maharam lived in the late 13th century and was one of the giant of Ashkenazic Jewry in his time. One says that we count that as v'nikdash b'toch b'nei Yisrael because he's in the room. As long as there are 10 people in the room, Shekhinah Sharia, the presence of God is there. And then the Maharam says, and it's no worse than a baby in a crib, and certainly this person, even though he's still davening, a baby in the crib is different than what we saw in the Taz, right? The Taz had said, he thought the baby in the crib is a bad example because we don't rule that way, but here the Maharam clearly quotes it. And so he says, and it's all the more true, because this person who can't answer right now, it's because he's involved in davening. So if he's involved in davening, he's involved in talking to Hashem and serving Hashem through prayer. So certainly, though, that an act of accepting Hashem's rule of the world, so it would make a lot of sense that person can count for the purposes of v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, of being considered one of the Jewish people, who are present for the sanctification of Hashem's name and Hashem coming to be there for that. There is some thought to include that it's easier to include a person, I'm going to do this very briefly, but there is some thought that it's easier to include a person who's to people who are talking, because they're the chisaron, the problem with them is more obvious than the person who's davening, and that might lead to errors down the road, but that's not the way the general post-scheme go, and therefore Rav Menashe Klein disregards that, and therefore we can leave it as well. And he says, and our general custom, for all that it's such a serious thing, and the Rosh said that if people are talking, it's so problematic, for all that, we still count these people for a minion if we have to, even though it's not ideal. So that seems to show that we don't have to worry about that. And therefore, we should certainly be able to include somebody who's in the middle of davening, where the Taz had agreed as well. And then he adds, there's no reason for the person who's davening to create a machloket kind of situation. It's going to bother people to wait for this person, and or the minion's going to fall apart because of it. We can allow the chazor sashatz to start even while that person is still davening. But if they want to wait for that person, that's better, because then they're being friendlier to this person. They're allowing him to finish his davening at the time that it takes him, and they can let him answer chazor sashatz. I will say that I think sometimes those people would prefer that the shots start without them, because they don't want to feel the pressure of knowing that the entire community is waiting for them. So if that's true, then not. Then it should be known as well. And if they can't wait, or they choose not to wait, the person who is davening, when they get up to Kedusha or whatever it is, should stop and listen and be b'chlal shomeik oneh. And then when he gives this answer, he's now closing the tshuva. He says, by the way, in this whole answer, I want to make a condition that if you're a Mara da'atra, if you have a shul with a rabbi, so this guy's not the rabbi, I'm sorry, he's a member of a shul, and the man doesn't know, and the Rav Menashe Klein doesn't know who he is. He says, if you have a rabbi in your shul, then whatever I'm writing is not a psak, is not a ruling. It's for you to bring to your rabbi and show it to him so he can think about it. And unless he agrees with me, then that's not my ruling. So because you can't rule when there's a rabbi of a community, you can't rule against that rabbi without the rabbi knowing about it, and therefore you should check it to him if there's a rabbi. And for sure, Rav Nachman Klein says, I don't want any machloket, any disputes to come out of this, any fights among the Jewish people, and that's the way it should go. So fundamentally, the question of who you can count in the minyan includes people who are talking, even though A, they shouldn't be talking, and B, there were those who thought you shouldn't join them in davening because of the flaws in their character they are showing by their talking during davening. It includes people who are sleeping, even though the Taz seemed to think the person who was sleeping, well, did not seem to think, the Taz thought that a person who was sleeping is more of a problem than other situations. And for our purposes, it includes somebody who was davening. For all that the Maharam thought it would be better for the community to wait for that person so that person could actually answer, which seems to say that Shomei Ka'one is not quite as good as actually being one, as actually answering davening. But everybody agrees that if the community decides not to wait, or for Rav Nachman Klein, if it would create machloket, it would create dispute and strife and discord to wait, then you don't have to wait, and then that person can stop and listen whenever something comes up they need to, and that would be to do it. And as part of making sure that he's not fomenting strife or discord, he also reminds the person who wrote the letter to him that anything he writes is not considered a ruling if there is a rabbi on site, and the rabbi on site has the right and the authority to rule on these issues. The most that they can do is bring his letter to him and show him what he thought so they can have a further discussion about the halakhos of the issues. And that is a tshuva a day for the 21st of Tammuz. Rav Nachman Klein letting us know how many people we need to have for a minyan in order to start Chazaras HaShatz. Have a great day.